This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investors Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investors Schooling.
Good morning, everybody. Actually, it's not morning anymore. It's afternoon. Oh, my goodness. Afternoon. They put us on at 2 o'clock again. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but they put us back on at 2 o'clock. So, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Hey, Investor Schooling Live is transmitting from the Investor Schooling Studios right here in the Investor Schooling Headquarters. I'm Larry Steinhaus. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deborah Anderson, and, of course, the immigrant, Amri Mourad. Thanks for listening in. Get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many more things about money that I bet you didn't know. By the way, you can call us anytime during the show, and you can call with any question you want.
We have
the phone
number.
Is
855-939-1137.
I'll do it again. Debbie's giggling.
I know, but she always giggles. Let's wait when she finishes giggling, then.
That's because she's got the fizz.
She have the fizz. No. Debbie?
Wait,
look at me when I do it, okay?
Hold on.
No, calm down.
We're on track again.
And look at me.
Done already.
Okay, look at me. It's 855-939-1137. It does give her the fizz. Oh,
I know.
It does.
Exactly, right. So for you guys, I can't even do the intro.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks a lot.
The intro
we already got into it.
Exactly.
Real quick, we're Investor Schooling.
What the fizz?
Wait, we're going to explain that. I'm going to explain that because that's what I said. We can't do the intro because I got to explain what the fizz is.
Glenn, you know
right.
What.
So we lost the intro because I got to explain what the fizz is. But hold on a second.
No, just finish the intro, please.
Finish the intro?
Yes.
Okay. You can call anytime you want about anything like the stock market, real estate investing. Want to know what the fizz is, you know. We're also live here on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And by the way, if you're on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube and all that, do me a favor, say hi to us so we know you're watching. Also at Investor Schooling, of course, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money in taxes, how to be financially free, and we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of you working for money.
Correct.
Look, I can't go on. Glenn, this used to be such a professional show, right, Glenn? We used to talk about money, like, you know, the stock market was up this week, and we had a great week in the stock market, where the stock market almost hit 40,000, or almost closed above 40,000.
And then all our listeners were like,
that's what happened.
Right.
They all
and then I brought, Debbie on, and Debbie made it a little more exciting. And then I brought the crazy immigrant on, and now we can't even control ourselves.
It's just chaos now. It's just disintegrated. You know, it used to be like Cronkite and Brokaw. Now it's just disintegrated into chaos.
Howard Stern. Yeah, definitely.
So, financial Howard Stern.
Yeah, the financial Howard Stern, exactly. So let's get into what the fizz is, because I think it was just so funny.
So the fizz is something.
But let's explain the scenario first, okay? So, you know, so in case you guys didn't know, we are exactly like this all the time. It's not just the show.
It's completely not the character.
And Glenn, you listen to us 15 minutes before the show. We're doing the same exact thing, right?
Oh, it's worse.
because we can use the four letter, we can use the, you know, the F bomb and stuff like that.
We should be on air 15 minutes before the actual.
Well, I've always said that the pre show is always funnier than the real show.
Oh my god!
In fact, most of the time when they start getting into a topic, I go stop because it's much better to do it on the air. So just so you know, we're just like this. You know, we're best friends. We hang out. You know, and we do crazy stuff. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story. A listener called yesterday. We were at the pizzeria. We were having pizza, right?
Yeah.
And we had a couple of beers. And we had the pizza. And we were with your mother-in-law, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
We were with your mother-in-law. And then the phone rings because, you know, when we're out, we have the phones forwarded to our cell phone.
Your mobile, yeah.
Right. So I see the phone ring, and I see it's the Investor Schooling line. And I answer the phone. And I go, hi, Investor Schooling. This is Larry. And somebody on the other end goes, is this the place where they do that show, Investor Schooling Live? I'm like, yeah. He goes, wait a minute, is this Larry? I go, yeah. And he goes, wow, I'm like so excited to talk to you. And you know, everybody should be excited to talk to me.
Oh, because you're just such a blast to talk to.
No,
yeah,
too.
Of course.
It's
but
a
anyway,
blast. It's delightful.
I said, I'm here. Delightful. Right, I'm here out to lunch with Amri and Dr. Deb.
Yeah.
And we're having pizza and we're having beer and we're hanging out and we're just having a really good time. The guy's like, wow, really? And he goes, like, you guys are really like that? I go, yeah. And I put the phone around. I said, everybody say hello to the guy. And it was just hysterical. It was a lot of fun. So we're exactly like this. So leading up to the other day, we go to some pizzeria. What was it? Di Lorenzo's in Morrisville or something?
Yeah. Club,
yeah. What?
The club something.
No, that was yesterday. I'm talking about.
Di Lorenzo.
We're still on the fizz, believe it or not.
We should.
We're still on the fizz. So we're at this pizzeria, and we're talking about all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember exactly what Omri said, but, you know, Omri, and, you know, he's an immigrant, and, you know, he speaks English pretty well.
It's
but every
an
once
insult,
in a while,
by
he confuses words, and every once in a while, he makes up a word for something that somebody else calls a word, which is hysterical. I mean, it's actually very funny, and sure enough, he comes up with this word.
Who called the fizz?
Called the fizz, right. And like, what? What is the fizz? So do you want to explain what the fizz is? Now, remember, we're on the air, so you got to be careful how you say
it. Glenn,
keep your finger on the dump button in case he forgets. Go ahead. What's the fizz?
Dump? What did you say? What is a dump button? What kind of station is this place? my God.
I have
spaceship?
To dump on the dump button.
So space. What's going on with all of you? So, to be honest.
You don't want to know what kind of buttons I have here.
All right, we've got out of control now.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, I listen to talk radio all the time, and I hate it when all three hosts are just giggling. And here we are doing exactly what I hate. And you guys, I can't even control it.
So the fizz, let's go back to the subject. It is not even the subject of this show, but let's go back to the subject. Okay, the fizz is actually exactly what Glenn said. It's when something is pushing your button.
Okay? Yeah, but yeah,
that's
okay.
That's not how
so
you describe
things.
Yeah, but he can't describe it the way he did it the other day.
I will. No, you can.
Okay.
Things that sometimes give you a weird feeling, mainly around your genitals, are what's called the fizz.
Beautiful.
Oh, geez.
And that can be. Glenn, stop.
Take it easy, dude.
I'm just saying, when you drive an exciting car, when you see a nice girl, it's not. 100%. It's not sexual in any way. It
oh,
just
no, it's not sexual. It just takes place around your. Not at all.
Okay, when you see a nice car, doesn't it give you a weird feeling? Like somewhere you are excited about that.
Who, me?
Yes. Well, whatever
no,
will float
no,
your boat.
Cars don't do it. Cars don't do it for me.
Yeah, actually, we either. Just spoke about these cars, yeah. So it's not. It's
cars don't do it for me either.
So what do it for you?
What do you want to finish describing the fizz before we get on to
he,
what?
He pretty much did.
Something give you an excitement in your body, and you feel it in your body, especially around your. I don't know what you.
You said it before, but he didn't dump it, so you know.
So you didn't dump it. I know exactly.
So.
He didn't dump the dump. So the thing is, it gives you a weird feeling,
yes.
But it's a good feeling. It's not aroused. It's just a good feeling. You are excited about something. So for me, is when I'm driving a car and the engine is doing a very good sound, and when it reached like 7,000, 8,000 RPM, my whole body is alive, and that's what
right.
We call the fizz.
The fizz. So when you read the phone number, got to read it again.
It gives you the fizz.
No, not me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It absolutely does give me the fizz.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, I want to let the audience hear the phone number. Say it 7 times.
Okay.
So listen, if you're in your car right now, turn the volume up.
Exactly.
And call us and let us know if you get the fizz from this, okay? Go ahead. The phone number is?
If they will get pregnant, I need to be responsible? I hope not. So
you might be responsible for an accident.
Yeah,
not,
exactly.
Not getting somebody pregnant.
So it's 8.
Everybody, turn up your volume. Turn up your volume. Go ahead.
So our number is 855-939-1137.
You know what I think
again,
is funny is how
wait,
he turns.
This guy do it 7 times.
I know, but did you notice how like he gets closer to the microphone and he like lowers his voice and has more of like a bass when you do it? I think it's kind of funny.
I can do 855-939.
Nobody will listen to us anymore.
No, but I just think it's interesting how you like purposely change your voice to do the whole, you know.
So our number keyboard. Again, it's 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Call us. We need help. A lot of help in this room.
So if you got the fizz, give us a call. If you didn't get the fizz, give us a call. If you think Omri's crazy, give us a call. If you want to learn something about real estate or stock options, give us a call. If you want to talk about politics, give us a call. If you want to just give us a call because you're bored and you're in your car driving all alone in this rain.
And you want to see if it's a real thing, this
show. And you
show,
want to see if we're really
delusional.
Live.
Yeah.
855-939-1137. There you go. Is that good?
It's great. So you said something about us being in this place in Yardley, right?
Yeah.
That you like the pizza and you answered and people were surprised that you actually answered the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, many was, of yesterday. Our students.
That was yes. yesterday. That was the different place. Pizza place.
Yeah. So many of our students, the new students, don't believe that they have access to the to Larry.
Or you or Deb.
To the talent. Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. Because they hear us. They come to the school and say, you're him, you are the person. Yes, because many people, when they buy courses online and all that, there is a character, there is someone there, and they have no access to this
even,
person.
And that person isn't even really there. They've just lent their name because they're famous.
Exactly.
And you know, maybe they licensed their name, and that's it. You're absolutely correct.
So it's very surprising every time that people are coming on Thursday for the first time and they see Larry and say, "You, Larry, you are the actual Larry." Said yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But
and
it's
then
Omri
reads the phone number every week in school too.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. What's the phone number?
I don't know.
855-939-1137.
Hold on, I gotta move my
oh my
move over,
god.
I gotta move over in my seat because I got the fizz.
You got the fizz, exactly.
That's crazy. See, this all is right. What we talk about when we're on the air and off.
I'm telling you, if people would follow us around, they would just laugh hysterical all day long.
We laugh hysterical, exactly.
This show is exactly what we do all day long.
It's our life.
Until I get mad at you, and then I yell at you.
You want to go there?
Why not?
Go there.
You know, I yelled at Omri yesterday.
Yeah.
Because he was being a nudge, as always.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice how I stuck up for you?
Yeah, you did. But it's not that you stuck up for me. You really think it was inappropriate.
I did think it was inappropriate.
Okay, good. Right. Good. So, you know what? Let's bring the subject. Not the screen.
You know, I'm so excited. You know why?
What? Because of, I said the number.
No, because I can change this topic right now. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon.
What's
I'm
happening,
a newbie,
man?
Renting phones, and I inherited a house, and with this marketplace, I'm so tempted to sell it, but I would really like to have the passive income.
I'll buy it. I'm sorry. So what do you want? Some suggestions on how to rent, or what is your exact question?
Yeah, for a newbie, what for renting the property? What any tips that you can throw at me?
Have you ever done it before?
That was going to be my first question, actually.
No, okay.
No, I've never done it before.
All right, so here's the first. I mean this, and it's not just a plug for investor schooling. But get some serious training on how to be a landlord, because you can make a mistake from the very first thing you say to a tenant when you pick up the phone and say, hey, I want to rent the place. You can make a mistake right there, and that mistake could carry on forever, and you can have all kinds of problems. So I will tell you that I've been renting for 42 years, and in 42 years, I had one eviction. And with myself, like in other words, if I was a property manager, and with property managers, I've had two in 42 years. So I will tell you that, you know, what I teach and how I teach it, you know, it will definitely help you to learn how to rent it properly and say the right things to tenant and how to screen tenants properly. Don't the biggest mistake newbies make is they go, oh, I got a tenant, great. And then they take that tenant without talking to them, without understanding what they are, without understanding the laws, because there's certain laws about security deposits. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'll give you a great example. I knew somebody who actually became a student after this happened, who in Philadelphia was running a duplex, and one side he was running where the person came up with the first month, the last month, and 1 month security, because they learned, this landlord learned a little bit, but he didn't learn everything. They came up with first month, last month, and 1 month security. They rented to this person. The person never paid rent, ever. And 4 months later, he's in eviction court.
So they collected everything the way they should.
They collected the first month, last month, and 1 month security.
Good.
And now they never paid it. They never paid a dime. The tenant was a professional tenant. He just didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And 4 months later, they're in eviction court. And in eviction court, the landlord, I mean, the judge goes, oh, this is an easy case. The tenant gets all their money back, and they could stay another 30 days, and then they have to go.
What? What's the story?
What? Well, the story is that they didn't do a lead paint test.
Oh.
Not, they had a lead paint disclosure, but they didn't do a lead paint test. There was no lead paint in the house, but because they didn't do a lead paint test, and they had a child under 6 years old living there, the law says that the people can't inhabit the place. But because they inhabited the place, according to Philadelphia, they inhabited the place illegally, and now you have to let them go. And, you know, they need 30 days because, you know, we have to be nice to the people who have taken advantage of us, and we have to give them all their money back. And that's what happened. He got a judgment against him for 3 months' rent, and he had to give it back to them. Don't do it wrong. Learn how to do it properly. And if you learn how to do it properly, things will go a lot better for you. Don't make the mistake of hiring a real estate agent to do it for you, because believe me, you know more than they do.
I mean, if you have a job,
go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
So that's what I was going to do to protect myself, but I'll go to your class.
Listen, if you want to protect yourself, don't hire a real estate agent.
No, don't.
There's no protection there. All they're going to do is bring you a tenant, and they're going to say you want him, and you say yes, and you take the tenant, and then you pay the real estate agent to mess up your life, because once the real estate agent gets paid, and once the tenant moves in, the real estate agent has no liability whatsoever. So they don't protect you. They can't tell you whether to take the tenant or not, because that's illegal. They can only say, hey, this is a tenant, and he showed up the other day, and he wants the place. So be really, really careful.
And we're not saying don't work with a management company, which is a whole different thing.
Well, sometimes you work with a management company, sometimes you don't.
Exactly.
But you need to understand how management companies work.
Of course.
I actually know a very good management company in Delaware.
Yeah.
But I don't like them. I don't like a lot of the things that they do. And they're usually, I have properties in Delaware, and they're my management company. As a matter of fact, I had Audrey on here. Remember, I had her on here?
Yeah, of course.
So she's great, but, you know, I don't like the way they do business. So it's a little bit different. It's just, you need to learn. You need to learn it right. Now, on the other side, you know, whether you sell a property or not, you might want to know what the property, what would happen if you sell the property. Is there any money out on the property?
No.
Okay, great. And what do you think it's worth?
This marketplace, there's only 3 or 4 listings. I'd say like $700,000.
Well, you definitely don't want to rent a $700,000 house.
You know, so it's a single family $700,000 house.
Yes, single family.
How much you can get for it in rent according to the comps in the area, if you even have comps in the area?
There's not many houses for rent, but. $3,500 per month?
No, but it doesn't matter. He owns it clear.
Exactly, I know.
If you were going to buy that house, then $3,500 wouldn't be enough. But so if you could sell a house for $700,000, here's the problem with selling a house for $700,000. You're going to have to pay capital gains tax of probably on the whole $700,000. So there's a whole bunch of little pieces that we need to know. So like if you were one of my students, I'd do a coaching session with you and go through it with you. But show up if you can. Reach out to the school. Show up if you can. Go to investorschooling.com and show up on Thursday, and we'll talk privately. And I'll give you a little more suggestions. But a $700,000 house, first of all, I mean, is it nicer than your house that you're living in now?
No, it's a 70s house. It was built in 1970, so we're updating it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, be careful with that too. Updating it, all right. There's a whole bunch of, so you're kind of, it's funny, we always say that the cost of your first mistake is less than the cost of our school, and it sounds like you're going down a couple of paths of mistakes already. But I don't know yet, I'd have to talk to you some more. But I would tell you, definitely show up, go to investorschooling.com, show up, and we'll see what we could do to at least guide you in the right direction, because there's a lot of pieces here.
We'd be very happy to see you on Thursday.
A lot of pieces here. But come in, see us, and maybe we'll even have a slice of pizza for you.
Okay, that's good.
And if when you meet Omri and you get the fizz, you know, we'll talk about you behind your back.
You're
right. All right, man.
Well, you know, I do get the fizz when I hear the military marching.
There you go. Excellent.
That's a very good example.
See, you know what's going to be interesting for you? Mm-hmm. You might have created a new word in the English language. John will talk about the fizz. We'll talk about the fizz. And it all came from you, man.
I didn't invent that. The fizz exists, no?
No.
You don't say fizz?
No. We don't say fizz.
Good.
It's not a word that's used in America.
So I need to call Oxford? Who am I calling about that right now?
I don't know, but you coined it.
Urban Dictionary. Exactly.
Yeah. Dips.
We could call it the Armory Fizz.
Yeah, the Armory Fizz. Good. So he mentioned something very good. When they play the national anthem, many people feel the fizz.
Yeah.
Because it excites everything in everybody.
Absolutely, I agree.
For some reason, you also feel it there.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you only feel it there.
I got you. All right, John. We'll see you. We'll see you on Thursday.
Please.
Thanks so much, man.
Okay.
All right. Take care. All right. So now, where were we? We were talking about something that I was so happy to have been interrupted
exactly.
by.
Yeah, exactly.
Yelling. Oh, yelling at Omri?
We're getting ready to talk about yelling at Omri.
So
you want to start?
So just before.
I don't know if we could actually set up the scenario.
But before we start, Omri, and I know I asked you this before we started. Is there a reason you have a stack of papers here while we're on the air?
So I think that today.
I'm just thinking that maybe you should consider focusing on the radio show and not
all
your papers.
I am, but I think it's related because I am sitting in a classroom every week.
Yeah.
With a guy that teach people to have as much credit as they can.
I understand, but you.
And
but
today.
Literally, it's like an hour a week.
That's a celebration. That's a celebration.
You do also understand that we're on the air and maybe you should be concentrating to what we're talking about.
We are. I am. So today, believe it or not, I crossed my 50,000 in credit card limit.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I know. And I was about to put another one into my wallet that will, I'm pretty sure will break.
Your G-string.
My wallet G-string. I'm pretty sure it will break. It's not holding anymore.
So if you listen to the show for a long time, you realize that Omri has interesting words for everything. So he has a wallet that's kind of a silver, like it's a metal wallet on both sides.
Yeah.
And it has a rubber band kind of built into it. And he calls that his G-string.
Yeah.
So, in case you guys didn't know.
You are aware that you don't have to put every single credit card in your wallet, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah, I have a book at home.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
64 credit cards.
Yeah, I'm
how
not
do you
sure
do that? That's, you know, it scares me.
Why?
64 credit cards. How do you know when to pay, what to use, when to change between them?
I have a spreadsheet. I have an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I look at it and I check it and make sure that
you also need to play with them. Take that and to use that because when you don't use a card, they limit your.
So if you have a credit card, so just so you know, we have a lot of fun with this. So by the way, David online is saying hello, David. If you want to call in, say hi. What the phone number is?
855-939-1137.
David, did you get the fizz when he gave the phone number? Just in case, do it again.
855-939-1137.
Okay, so one of the things that we teach in Investor Schooling, we teach you how to get credit. Now, a lot of people are like, "Oh, I listened to Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey said you should never have credit." Well, that's okay if you want to be mediocre and never have any money. The best way to build wealth is to borrow money from other people. Use their money to leverage your real estate or whatever it is, any investment or even your business, and get money to do it. So one of the other ways to get money is through credit cards. Now, it's funny because I'll have this conversation all the time. I'll have this.
It's on the screen?
What's on the screen? I don't know. But anyway. All right. I don't know. He says it's on the screen.
Oh, the phone number.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. So call in, David. Anyway. So the credit card company. The credit card is one place to get money from. Now, a lot of times in class, I'll be doing this presentation. And somebody go, but it's 30% interest. Are you crazy? I'm like, no. If it's the only place I can get money from at the moment, maybe at the time, maybe I need money fast.
And it's worth it.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Who pays the interest? The tenant or in the deal. Maybe I'm buying or flipping a house and I need the credit card money to fix the house. And I use the credit card money to fix the house. A lot of these places do 0% interest. Home Depot is great. So if you're going to buy material for your house, you put on your Home Depot credit card at 0% interest for 6 months. And if you sell the house within 6 months, you use Home Depot's money to do your renovation.
So let's use an example. If you're buying a $500,000 house for $200,000, do you care if you will pay 30%? No, you don't care about the 30% because you are buying it for so much under the market value, and you will make your money at the end anyway.
Correct. And as long as you're making money, who cares?
Yeah, and that's if this is the only way you can get your money, sure.
My goal is to make money. I can't close this chat. It's driving me crazy. My goal is to make money. And because of my goal is to make money, I don't care where the money comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So we got other people online saying stuff too. Matt says that no one says fizz.
Okay, good.
I don't know what Cindy's saying, something about a 1-year lease. That was obviously something
I'm extremely
else.
Surprised that you that people are leasing. I know.
Cindy's saying if you use a real estate agent, they might actually try to sell the person a house instead of renting your house, which is true too. So she was talking about a comment before. For some reason, those comments are not going on the main screen, so I'm missing those comments.
So that sounds very illegal. Not illegal, but there is like
ethical?
A conflict of interest.
Yeah,
ethical.
Ethical?
Yeah.
Do you know what year this is?
Yeah, I do.
It's 2024, the year of no ethics.
Yeah, it's. So I will ask a real estate agent to rent my house.
Right.
They will list it for rent, but then they will say, why would you pay this guy $2,500 or $2,000 every month?
Right.
You can use that to buy a house.
To buy a house, yeah, sure.
So an interesting,
that's legal.
An interesting thing
well,
came up.
Well, it's certainly legal, whether it's ethical or not, but it's certainly legal, yeah.
An interesting thing came up at a training that I went to, and I thought that, and since it's kind of related to this topic, and it was talking about a property manager, and when one of the things when you're interviewing property managers, you want to know if the guy has rentals on his own, like personal, like does the guy who works at the property firm have his own rentals?
Yeah, correct.
Because if you think about it,
He
will fill his first.
Of
He's going to find a good person and be like, well, I'll keep this guy for me and not so much for you that I'm paying you for your property rental. So that's one of the questions you want to ask when you're doing property rental.
Both of my, I have a property manager in Delaware and I have a property manager in Lehigh Valley. By the way, I've had them both on the air for you guys in the past. But my property manager in Lehigh Valley has over 400 properties that he manages. He doesn't even care anymore. He just gets a phone call, somebody looking for a house, whichever one he has open, he's showing.
No, but he manages for others.
Right.
She says something else. He owns. So if he owns
about a dozen.
So let's say he owns, and there is the best tenant arrive and apply. Let's say even for your property.
You're going to show. What you're really saying is which property is going to show first,
right?
Because it's up to the tenant to decide which one they want.
Yeah.
So if he shows his property first and it's the best one, the tenant will take it.
I think her scenario is that he will list your house. He will do open house for your house, but he would really like the tenant, so he will say to them, "I have another property to show you. I think you really like it, even better than this one."
That's fine. You know what? I'm so not worried about that, now. Especially
in this
climate
market,
where there's no rentals anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we put a house on Facebook Marketplace, and we get like 100, in a week, we get 100 responses.
It's insane.
You know, and I just keep raising the prices. Now, I've actually got to the point where it's slowed down. I used to put it up for some crazy prices to see if I get them, and I get them. I actually, the last two rentals, I had to lower the price just a little bit when I put on Facebook Marketplace. I'm noticing there is a threshold where people will say no. And the funny part is when the ones that are more expensive, when I put it up for more expensive, I get more Section 8 calls.
That's interesting.
Which isn't really interesting.
No, it's not. So Section 8 raised their prices right now.
Right.
Yeah. I think we talked about this in the show before. Section 8 figure out that landlords don't want Section 8. Not because of it's a Section 8 person, it's a person that comes with a Section 8 voucher, because the whole progress with Section 8 is long. Section 8 required to do their own inspection, regardless if the city is doing their own inspection, they still want to do their own inspection. And all those things take time, the bureaucracy is very hard, and in the end you get less. So at some point they change the method, and now Section 8 pay more than the average market, which is insane to me.
Yeah, it's true. Hold on one second. Let's take a look at this.
What is it? Wait.
So Glenn writes. Glenn just sent me a note. And he says he just looked up what the fizz means in the Urban Dictionary, and we may want to stop using it.
So
curious. But hold on a second. Let's get Cindy on the line. Let's have a conversation with Cindy. Then we're going to go to commercial. And while we're at commercial, I'm going to look that up because that's hysterical. What's going on, Cindy?
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Who is this?
Cindy Dumeyer.
Oh, wow. I know Cindy. Cool. How are you?
Yeah, you better.
Of course I do. So a lot of people don't know. Cindy's like one of the real estate investor teacher OG, right? She's been around a really long time teaching real estate investors. Now, I've been around for 42 years teaching real estate investors. I'm not sure if you've been teaching it that long, but I know that you've been teaching it for a really long time.
Yeah, I started a year before LeGrant, so it's 42. We're staying here.
We're the same. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you look better than I do, so maybe you did something right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to explain what I did. I did what I did the opposite. And you know how it happens sometimes. So I had a couple rentals, and I had an agent that had somebody that was qualified, really good tenant. But I always pick my people because I put in a certain type of person. And I want, you know, forever renters on my rentals that leave, you know, stay for 8 to 10 years. Here's what she did to me. She went, I broke my rule. I put her in. She got like $1,600 commission. The whole time he's in there, she's looking for houses for him to buy.
Yeah, right.
So they just hit me up. I mean, so don't use a realtor. Use common sense. You know, broke my rule one time, and I'm still paying. So they want to go month to month, and I said no.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, she answered my question.
She's getting double commission. And I'm like, so be careful, people, if you use an agent. I mean, I was an agent at one time, but you just got to have a lot of wisdom, and I just wanted to clarify that.
So, how you figure it out? The tenant told you about that?
No, she's so stupid. She calls us up and says, I'm looking for a house for your tenant that I put in, and he wants to go month to month now until I get him a place. And I'm here, no.
And that was how much time after the tenant moved in?
She put him in and stuff. See, I do things a little different. All our tenants, the lease runs out the end of April.
Oh, right? I know why you do that, but that's really weird. I wouldn't do that, but I know why you do that.
I did it in the past, yeah.
Of course you know why. Yeah, so when I hardly ever have any vacancies. So when I do have one, it's just as easy to do one or two at the same time than having them pop up. It's a big time saver. So what happened, she put
that's
in
a, that's
September.
Definitely an OG lesson.
Yep. So she put them in September. And got $1,600, and the lease runs out the end of April. So she called last week and wants to go month to month because she's trying to find him a house. So I was, you know, just warning people what happens. So don't do that. Yeah. Listen to Larry. Yeah. You do not want to use a property manager, and you want to do it yourself.
Just answer the question: how long was it after the tenant moved in?
No, so she wanted the tenant to stay.
Immediately.
Yeah, she wanted the tenant to stay.
So immediately. No, but I want to see how much guts this agent had. And exactly, because it's immediate, it's extremely rude. Wait for a year. Let them be there for a year. Because we always ask people.
You got to remember that the agent owns the tenant, too. Not owns him, but has an obligation to help the tenant too.
What do you mean?
So if they showed the house to that tenant, they were the agent, they're also the buyer broker or the tenant broker for that agent, which means that they also need to look out the best interest for that tenant.
I get
which,
it.
By the way, is a complete conflict of interest to the person who hired them, which was Cindy.
I get it, but if they are trying to satisfy them by finding them a rental, they need to do that.
Right, but now the person said, hey, look, I got an opportunity to turn this person into a buyer and make a $10,000 commission if they buy a house. So they have two obligations. They have one obligation to the tenant to do what's best for them, which is find them a house. And the other obligation, which is the most important obligation, is they have an obligation to make $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a fact, their first client, their first customer, which is their landlord.
Right.
And that's the problem. That's
She's just saying why people shouldn't use real estate agents if they want to. Now, I don't completely agree that you shouldn't use real estate agents. I think you should, fully understand how to use a real estate agent. Look, real estate agents, like lawyers, like accountants, like Plumbers are tools. They're tools. And if you don't know how to use this tool properly, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, I see this all the time. People hire attorneys to do something for them. And instead of the attorney doing what they really wanted, the attorney gives them their opinion and does completely opposite of what they wanted and messes up the deal.
Exactly.
And then the attorney thinks he's a hero. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also you're paying the attorney to learn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't have
exactly.
The right attorney.
Yeah. I remember, and this is a true story. I was 18 years old. You'll love this, Cindy. I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know, reading a couple of books on real estate, how to buy real estate. Right. And I went to this guy and I said, listen, there's this property I want to buy. It's in this new development that's being built. I don't know, whatever. I needed down payment money. I mean, at the time, maybe it was $7,000 or $8,000, because when I was 18 years old, you know, what would be a $300,000 condo right now would probably be, I don't know, maybe $80,000 or $90,000 then. So whatever I needed. Let's say I needed $9,000, $10,000, whatever I needed, right? I said, this is the deal. This is what I'll do. I will take the $10,000. I will make you an equity partner. I will buy this property. I will live there for 5 years. I will pay the mortgage 100%, pay all the bills 100%, do everything, and then sell the property and give you your $10,000 back plus half of the proceeds, right? And the guy said, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. And we started talking about it. We put together paperwork. He says, let me bring you to my lawyer. And literally, we're sitting down with the lawyer, and the lawyer goes, why would you want to do this for this guy? This is a dumb idea. And that was the end of it, right? 3 years later, the guy goes, that property is now worth $200,000 or whatever it was. And I could have had half of that to give you $10,000. Hmm. And I looked at him and I went, no. Oh, I don't have the beep button, but yeah. And it was unbelievable how the guy finally realized that what I was trying to do was great. So this is all I have to say to lawyers.
Ooh, yeah.
All I have to say to lawyers. You.
Yeah. We had to educate a couple of them on closing. And they had to think about it, and they came back, and we buy the same way. And he said, wow, this is genius. So he's actually a teacher. He teaches real estate, and he's like, it's phenomenal the way you sell stuff. No one ever explained it to him.
Yeah.
And he became on our team. So
yeah, I remember I had to
educate these people.
Yeah, I had and so I'm not going to get into the story, but just real quick, just a side story. I had a person who was trying to figure out how to get properties out of her husband's name, who was now in a nursing home, and you know, she, and all of a sudden, you know, Medicaid won't pay for this because you know they have these properties. Well, I figured out the perfect solution, and the woman says to me, "Well, okay, great, but you got to sit down and talk to my attorney and my accountant." And I felt, you know, just like you would too, Cindy. That what a waste of time. But if nothing else, I'll go anyway, just to have some fun. When I explained to them how I can do it. Both the attorney and the accountant, by the way, the attorney was an estate planning attorney, which makes me laugh. Both the attorney and the accountant looked at me and goes, that's brilliant. And I was like, they were like, wow, we should have thought of that. I'm like, yeah, why didn't you think of that? You're an estate planning attorney. This is such a simple way to do this. And I ended up buying, the person died right before we were supposed to, the day before I was supposed to buy the house, the person died. So I couldn't buy it. But it's wild. It's wild. Anyway, Cindy, I love you. You're awesome. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
And I love you too, Larry.
Come see us in.
Together for lunch.
Well, yeah, come see us in Investor Schooling. You know, you would be such a great, even a guest speaker. You'd be a great speaker one day.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'll see what I can do. So you're
at Hold on. Actually, we have to make this formal because I was told by Debbie
that it's not true. Don't even.
Oh, see, I didn't even say it, and you know what
I'm talking about. I already know what you're talking about. Yeah. I already know.
Didn't she say it? She said, we don't have enough women speakers coming by. So, Cindy, you now have to come. So,
I thought you were talking something else.
Yeah, me too.
I thought you were going in a different direction. Okay, sorry. Now, Cindy, you are welcome to come.
I'm wondering what it was that you were thinking. We'll tell me after, apparently.
We both thought you were going in a different direction.
No. So we definitely need you to come speak and show that women are as smart as men in real estate investing.
Exactly.
Right? Even if you don't have a PhD.
I agree. Sometimes they can be a little smarter. No. Yeah, Larry, I'd be glad to do that. So, you know, you guys have an awesome day, awesome show. I popped in and I had a comment and then clarified. So you guys have a great day.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Listen to us every Saturday at 2:00. We're on the air.
Okay, gotcha, bud. All right, you take care.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Okay, right. Let's tell people the number, then maybe they will call us immediately after the commercial break.
You got it. Do the number.
Okay? 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Let's go to commercials.
He's hugging the mic.
You got to see how he's hugging the mic. It's hysterical. Yeah, 855-939-1137 is the number. So if you want to call in, we're going to run a commercial right now. 855-939-1137. Run that commercial.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to InvestorSchooling.com. That's InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of hearing about the recession that's coming? Are you prepared for it? Well, listen, at InvestorSchooling.com, we're going to teach you ways to prepare for the recession that you didn't even know existed. We're going to teach you strategies on how to use real estate. We're going to teach you strategies how to use the stock market properly. That's right, you could even make money in the stock market when the stock market goes down. Hey, go to InvestorSchooling.com and register for a free class this Thursday night, and you will learn all of these techniques. Go to InvestorSchooling.com right now, RSVP for this Thursday. We'll see you there. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. InvestorSchooling.com. That's InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. You may know me from my book, Money Hacks. You may know me from my radio shows. And you may even know me from some of these commercials. But listen, I'm teaching stuff that people need to learn about money. In fact, my favorite topic is money. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and you will learn things about money that you never even knew existed. We will teach you things about real estate, about the stock market, and about how to use your IRAs properly. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's InvestorSchooling.com.
I don't think so.
We're back on the air. You guys like are hysterical. They're like, these guys don't even pay attention to what's happening.
Glenn goes
10 seconds, and Omri and Debbie are having a conversation.
We're not having
and
they're a having, conversation. And they're talking
about, that's why we need you.
So we're not I, having
can,
a conversation.
Can you guys be quiet so I can say, hey, welcome back to Investor Schooling Live.
Welcome
this is Larry
back.
Steinhaus with the big mouth Omri Murad, and the other big mouth, Dr. Debbie Anderson.
I am not the big mouth here.
You're the one who spoke first. All right. Anyway, we're going to have to talk. So we promised you that we were going to look up the Urban Dictionary definition of the fizz. And we came up with a couple of things. But my favorite one, because it's funny, there's like three different ones. But they are all sexual, which is
yeah,
what we, which is pretty much what we expected,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But my favorite one, and I think it fits Omri so well, is
no.
this one.
No. Really?
And I'm pretty sure I can say these words.
You know
obviously,
that I don't see it as an insult,
obviously,
right?
If Glenn, you have a problem with this, you know, just dump it. Yeah. But, you know, the euphoric sensation. What'd you say?
Say it delicately. As delicately as possible.
Delicately, just like that. Delicately.
Delicately like that?
Like that, yeah.
Maybe you should read it.
I will read it.
No, you should read it. You should read it. Go ahead.
Just like
can
that,
you see it?
Just
can
like
you
that.
See it up there?
Glenn, is it delicate enough?
Can you see it?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, go ahead.
That means the...
Euphoric.
Yeah, I know it's euphoric. I'm just...
You got to get into the mood. Why don't you say the phone number first?
No. It will give you the fifth. So,
he's getting the fizz.
No. So, guys, come on. This is very, very serious. And you will understand why after I will finish it. I won't. Never mind. So the euphoric sensation a gay man feels when his partner climaxes inside of him.
Now read the way they used it in a sentence.
I am not sure.
The next one.
Allowed.
Keep reading. Oh, don't do that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I don't think you can do the other one.
It's, oh my god.
Anyway.
Oh my god.
It's too. Yeah, exactly. Oh my god.
Anyway.
So it's
we either just got 25 new listeners or lost half the listeners. I don't know which. But yes, this
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're still on the air.
Okay, good. That's the only thing.
I don't know. So the real question is whether this will be repeated tomorrow or not. So like at 3 o'clock, for you guys who don't know, at 3 o'clock, this show gets repeated on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And the real question is whether Glenn is going to tell on us.
Yeah.
And you know, people like Greg Stocker, the guy who runs the station over there, programming, is going to pull this off because of this. And this is a great show.
No, but it's not a real word, right? You said Urban Dictionary. What is an Urban Dictionary?
It's we have to explain to him what an Urban Dictionary is.
It's all slang.
Slang, right.
It's
yeah.
It's like the Wikipedia of slang and people upvote and downvote.
Okay, so I'm sorry that I'm going there, okay? But you had it coming. Why it only refer to gay people?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I actually don't agree.
Exactly. A woman can have the fizz?
Yeah, and actually, if you looked, Debbie found one that a woman... So,
I found two for women.
The interesting part was, I had never heard of this before. I had never heard this word before until you said it. But apparently, you were more right than we were because people are using it.
Yeah.
And they're using it... Kind of the way you suggested it.
I will take one thing from this description that we just read, and that's inside climaxed. Okay? And that's the fizz. The fizz gives you some inside climax inside of you that you just feel.
Yeah, I got it.
Exactly.
Can I say something here, Larry?
Oh my god.
I'm just so glad that I looked that up and didn't go to a party after the show and just boy man, this party's really giving me the fizz. And all my friends would be like, "What the hell?"
Hey, I heard Gary Arnell's not on after us now, and I would have loved to have this continuing conversation with him. So, you know, he's on in the morning now. He took our spot at 10 o'clock, you know that?
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I think what happened was he was so upset that we had conversations like the fizz that they moved Gary Arnell to 10 o'clock in the morning.
I was pretty sure it's because of the games or something, and now it's not.
What?
It was the games.
What games?
We moved.
Yeah, it was. You know, I don't think it's that funny if I say they moved us to 10 o'clock because there was football games on.
WPHT, stop moving us.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Oh, look at that.
Who's that?
Oh, by the way, Kevin online says, here I was thinking it was soda, drinking soda.
Well, it is soda, but you know.
So there's a lot of things here, Omri, that you bring out.
I know.
It's like what was the class that Omri was talking about? The increasing credit is that in-house. So
we're talking about increasing credit, is that enough? Wait, what is the class? Okay, so what Omri's talking, so somebody asked you, okay, thank you. So somebody asked, you know what, by the way, Debbie's job in class and on the radio is to bring us back to reality.
Exactly.
And, you know, to stop being potty mouth and start talking about, you know, money again.
Except when we're talking about clocking windows, so that doesn't work.
So as soon as you bring us back there. So what happened was somebody online had written us a question, what's the class that Omri was talking about increasing credit? So that's part of our school. That's one of the things we teach. So we teach a lot of things. We teach real estate investing. We teach stock options trading. We teach the stock market. We teach how to build credit. We teach understanding money. Most people have no concept of how to use money. Yeah, you think you go into a store and you buy something, that's great. But I'm telling you, there's so many other concepts that you can use with money. How to use IRAs. How to use Roth IRAs, how to use self-directed IRAs. Most people don't even know that you could use a self-directed IRA to buy real estate. So these are all things we teach. So Matt, if you wanted to come into school, into the class, go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com, and you will learn something this Thursday. And interestingly enough, every Thursday we teach something else. We don't necessarily tell you what we're going to be teaching that Thursday because I promise you that when you show up, you're going to learn something. about money that you didn't know before.
We haven't done credit card for a long time.
Yeah, but
maybe that's what we should do.
No, we already have something planned.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. Shh, don't tell him what it is.
I know, I didn't. But, I'm but just saying.
Matt, I'll tell you what. I got an idea. If Matt shows up 15 minutes early that night, I will have a private conversation with him about how to build credit. How's that?
Good.
Matt's okay. been to our school a couple times, right?
Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I recognize
okay.
the name.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, if he shows up and he wants to learn more about how to build his credit, we could teach him that as well. Absolutely.
I think he was at the last Ben lunch, too.
Was he?
I think he was at the last Ben lunch.
I don't know. Okay, that's fine. I don't recognize the name.
No.
Not Kevin. Matt.
Okay.
You're looking at the wrong one.
Okay.
Not Kevin. Calvin.
Kevin. You're looking at Kevin. I'm looking at Matt.
All right.
Okay, anyway, different right. person. Maybe not. Either way, show up and we'll talk to you about it.
But I do recognize the name, so.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. All right, anyway, what else? What else do we have to talk about, Armory?
I'm afraid to open my mouth.
Should we tell anybody about your Maserati?
We can. Who gave me the fizz, by the way?
that's where this conversation started, right? Oh, so Matt said he was there a couple of months ago. So Matt, you're only allowed one free class, but for you, I'm going to invite you back to a class this Thursday again. So go to investorschooling.com right now, and you can sign up for another class. We will allow you to come to a second. So there you go. Hopefully we'll see you on Thursday, and we'll tell you more. So the whole thing started with the fizz was with your Maserati mm-hmm. that you bought on Monday.
Yeah.
And this was a really fun purchase, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. You can tell the story better than I do.
I think I will. So
and I want to remind you that neither one of you invited me to come when you guys were buying them.
No. There was a thing.
Well, every once in a while, you know, you and I hang out without Armory, and Armory and I hang out without me, without you, and sometimes you guys hang out without me. I mean, you know, it does happen.
I'm just saying.
You ever watch a show like Friends or Big Bang Theory, and sometimes the stars hang out with other people?
We hung out at the one time at the Green Parrot, the one time. Remember?
Yeah, we did.
We invited him, but he was in his jammies and didn't want to come out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay that, you know, that Armory and I did this without you. Don't feel jealous.
I won't be jealous anymore. That's it. I'm done. I'm done being jealous.
Oh, real quick, Michael online is asking, would you buy stock options on NVIDIA? So this, if you'd like to go to Atlantic City and throw the dice at the craps table, win or lose, that's what buying options right now on NVIDIA is. So there's absolutely no prediction where NVIDIA is going to go. If I was to guess, I would say it's going to go down, but not yet. Maybe it could happen tomorrow. Maybe not going to happen tomorrow. So I, NVIDIA is like, to me, it's just a lot of fun to watch, but I'm not going anywhere near NVIDIA to answer your question, Michael.
Do you know the rules of this game, by the way?
What game?
Craps?
Yeah.
Okay. People try to teach me the rules of this game, and I can't get it.
Yeah,
in my head.
It's
so stupid.
There's so many different bets that you can make.
Exactly.
But hold on. We're talking about investor schooling. We're not talking about Atlanta City right now.
Exactly. Let's talk
and
about
I've
investor
got three
schooling.
Minutes to tell the story about you buying your Maserati.
Which is investor schooling.
Which actually is kind of interesting because the whole thing really was about 3 minutes, right?
Correct.
The whole buying the product. So what happened was for the last, I don't know, 6 months. So Armory, we all know Armory has his Tesla. And we all make fun of his Tesla, which, by the way, we discovered that he has a 2016 Tesla X. And we discovered that on the list of worst cars ever made in the last decade, the Tesla X 2016, not only the 2016,
you discovered.
Is listed as one of the worst cars ever made. And it was funny because, I didn't look it up purposely. I just happened to find it and thought it was hysterical. But so now Armory wanted another car because, you know, he wanted to be able to, you know, get the fizz.
Get the fizz.
While he's driving. And so... So he's looking at cars and bids, and he's constantly looking at cars. And he's looking at Porsches, he's looking at this, he's looking at that. And last week, there was a Lamborghini?
Was a Ferrari California.
The Ferrari came up, right? So the Ferrari came up, and you know, he looked at it, he goes, hey, look at this car. He goes, what do you think? You think I should bid more? And it was up pretty high, and I think I should bid more. And I'm like, I don't know if you really want the car. And then he let it go. And then for an hour, I heard about Army going, I wish I didn't let it go. I should have bought it. So Army's obviously itching to buy a car. So on Monday, he comes into the office and he goes, look at this Maserati. He goes, what do you think of it? I think it's great. He goes, I'm going to put a bid on it. I'm like, okay, great. So he puts a bid on it and then he hands me the phone.
Which
and he says, I want you to bid for me. Then he takes the phone back. you know, because time goes by. And then it's like an hour before the auction's up.
Yeah, we were at Northwest.
Yeah, it was an hour because we were looking at a property. We were doing some work on a property. And it's an hour before the auction's up. He goes, let's go drive to the car and see what it looks like because I really want it.
Right. It was 15 minutes from where we were.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So we drive to the car. We drive to this place that has it. It was a motor line, whatever it was.
Motors of the main line.
Yeah, motorsports of the main line, whatever it is. Correct. We go there and we get there. We couldn't find a place. We eventually found a place. So we open the door and we're like, wow.
Yeah.
This guy had millions and millions of dollars worth of inventory of all high class, incredible cars.
Amazing things.
So it was really cool. So meanwhile, he hands me the phone. He says, you bid. And it happened to be a really good price. He goes, but if it goes over $30,000, you got to stop. So I looked at him and I go, Army, that ship sailed already. So I said, what do you want? Do you want the car? Now, there's about 4 minutes left. We're there. The owner of the place, or the owner's son.
The owner's son is the worker.
He's like, he couldn't believe this was happening, that we're actually in the place bidding on the car.
He was filming
us. And he's filming us on YouTube. Right. He's filming us on YouTube.
He's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. So we're having a blast. And I go, $30,000, that ship sailed. Do you want the car? He goes, I want the car. So I place a bid. I don't even tell him how much I place. I just place a bid, right?
And then the phone shut off or something.
Oh yeah, well that's another story. But so then I only got another minute, so I got to finish the story.
Sure.
So then they outbid me, and every time they outbid me, they give me another 60 seconds, which I think is kind of like not right. But they kept doing it. So I'm getting there, and all of a sudden I put a bid on, like I think it was $32,600. I show it to him. He goes, why did you bid that high? And I look at the phone, I go, but don't worry about it because it's overbid. They already overbid it. And I looked at him, I go, one last time. He said, do you want this car? I want the car. So I put in a bid that I knew no one was going to outbid. And sure enough, boom, the auction ends. He gets the car. And he's so excited. And after 10 minutes later, he's like, Oh no. I can't believe I bought this car. I can't believe I bought the car. And then the next day we go to pick it up and he drives it home. And that's when the whole story of the Fizz started and how he's so excited about this Maserati that he got the Fizz while he drives the Maserati.
Cool.
And it's a great looking car. And I think it finally solved your hankering. Hankering? Is that the right word? To buy a car. All right.
For 3 days.
We got 30 seconds. So I want to let everybody know that we are Investor Schooling. You can come to class. Go to investorschooling.com. And you can take a free class. You can learn things. You can learn all kinds of great stuff about money, about how to buy Maseratis, about how to give me your phone, and I could bid for you. And I want to also thank Glenn Page for taking great care of us today. He's awesome. I want to thank our callers. I want to especially thank Cindy for calling in. That was really nice. It's awesome to talk to another guru every once in a while. So go to investorschooling.com and sign up for Thursday night. Investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.